Herzlich willkommen zu Saatkorn, deinem Podcast mit Inspiration für eine bessere Arbeitswelt. Hi everybody, here on the Saatkorn show, and as you can hear, it's an English show again, which makes me super happy, and you have to cope with my English, but I have a guest I'm very much looking forward to. I know him for quite some time, and I'm pretty sure that most of you will know him as well. And the interesting thing is, he's already 25 years, almost 25 years with the same company, which is not the usual thing these days. It goes for me as well. So we have something in common at the end. And he knows everything about HR tech, about talent acquisition, and also about different countries and regions. So I'm super curious on the things he has to share today here. It's Steven Ehrlich from Radency. He's SVP Global Community Engagement, and I'm happy to welcome you on the show, Steven.
Well, thanks for having me here. I'm looking forward to the conversation. I think we'll enjoy going back and forth.
Yeah, I guess so too. Let's start with you as a person, because you are sitting right now in Tuscany in Italy, in your very nice house. And how does that come? An American in Italy who spent a lot of time in London, pretty international.
Well, I think I'm very lucky, first of all. I mean, you know, as a child, I grew up in Europe, but I also am privileged to work for a company that is a global business. And so, you know, I had an opportunity to move to London for 6 months, and that was 14 years ago when I stayed. And so, you know, as an adult, I have fallen in love with Europe. And so my wife and I are very lucky, and we have a place that we can come to here in Tuscany to get away for holidays.
That sounds great. So it's holiday time right now, but as I said before, you are with Radency for a long, long time, even before Radency was Radency, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been with Radency since we were TMP Worldwide back in the day when we owned Monster and we did all that stuff. And it's been quite a journey. The evolution's been incredible, you know, from, you know, traditional recruitment advertising into a technology business. You know, we've been very fortunate to make those moves ahead of the market. And we've seen the market evolve, as you have. But it's been 25 years in a business that I think is fantastic, because it's always evolving. It's always changing. There are new challenges every day. And we have some, you know, extraordinarily great customers who have become real partners to us. So, you know, why would I leave? Why would I go anywhere else?
That could be exactly my statement from a different perspective. But I always said over the years, oh, this is the most exciting time in the business so far. And I guess that goes for you as well, right?
I think every month is an exciting time. There's something new. And especially now, I mean, in the age of AI, the technology is moving so fast that I think, you know, every week is an exciting moment. But that also brings with it some challenges.
All right. Tell us a little bit about Radency now in, let's say, August 26th. What's the status quo? Where are you right now?
So again, I think, you know, the organization made a very conscious decision to become a technology business, you know, 12 or 15 years ago. And what we have developed is an AI-powered enabled platform that really helps organizations run their talent acquisition. And, you know, I think of it as two sides of a coin. You know, and you and I have been in this business long enough to remember when it was always just employer branding and creative and things like that. And that's the one side of the coin, which is really about candidate experience. Yeah. How do we attract the right talent? How do we do all of that? But the side of the coin that's on the other bit is really more interesting and somewhat more exciting, which is, how do we make recruiter experiences better? How do we power better hiring experiences for organizations to help them reduce cost, be more efficient, get better quality? And I think really where Radency sits today with the Radency Talent Acquisition Cloud is we have a single platform. And what we saw in the marketplace was so much fragmentation, so many point solutions. Everybody saying, I have a problem, let me go buy a piece of technology. And the pieces of technology were fine. I mean, they did the job, but they weren't connected to each other and nothing fed each other. They didn't teach each other. So there was no data. So I like to think of us as a data-driven business where we're using, you know, agentic AI and other tools to really automate the pieces of the process that we can, but we're also keeping the human at the center of it. And again, it's about that efficiency. So that's kind of where we sit in a non-marketing speak kind of way.
To me, that's interesting because I would describe it as a Radiancy is like an HR suite dedicated to all things talent acquisition related. That's how I would describe it in my words. Would you say that makes sense or not so much?
Yeah, I mean, I think we like to say that we're human guided. You know, I think, you know, the human guided AI is the important part. We're automating efficiency in the business. And what we're driving towards is proven hiring outcomes. And I think, you know, when you think about where the marketplace has moved, you know, the C-suite is looking for efficiency, and that's great. I understand that. We always want efficiency. But what we're looking for really is quality. You know, it's about bringing the right people into organizations to help those organizations move their businesses forward. And so what we're trying to do is help organizations transform hiring in a way that really drives better ROI, you know, so really meaningful stuff. And it's all around where the human and the AI and the technology fit together that's important. And I think, you know, it's from the first outreach with media to the brand stories that we tell, you know, a woman who's had a child returning to work has very different needs and interests than a student coming from a university campus. But being able to tell those stories using the technology is kind of where we sit. And I think it's about responsibility, particularly now in this AI world, you know, how are you using it the right way? But that's kind of, I would agree with your assessment of where we are.
Yeah. So if that's kind of right, sometimes I just wonder, because everything talent acquisition related can be done with your platform. So yeah, you just mentioned it. If it's about attracting people, if it's about the recruitment process in itself, if it's about the back end where the recruiter looks at. So I think Radiancy is everywhere.
And yeah, how do you know, I think the thing that's interesting to me, as we've seen the industry evolve, and you have probably seen it just alongside the same way I have, is that we've seen this proliferation of tools. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, what you really need to get to are two pieces. You know, I like the two sides of a coin idea. I like the two pieces idea. One is what I call the experience engine, right? Which is the experience engine before application, right? What happens there for candidates, and how do you deliver the right stories? How do you make them want to be part of your organization? And more importantly, make them not want to be part if they're the wrong people, right? So how do we, you know, eliminate the huge numbers that are coming? And the second side of it, on the right-hand side, is you've got the process engine or the system of record, your applicant tracking system, whichever one that is. And we play with all of them nicely, but what we can do is we can make sure that that experience on the front end for the candidate is brilliant. At the same time, I think there was a problem in the marketplace for a long time where nobody really thought about the recruiter experience. How to make their lives better? How do we give them better outputs? How do we give them better screening and scheduling opportunities? How do we make sure that their time is better spent? And so for us, I think it's that yin and yang, if you will, about making sure that there's the CX, the candidate experience. And in English, I don't know if it's the same in German, but there's the expression RX, which is like the prescription, you know, like the doctors use. So what's the RX, the recruiter experience that we're making sure we're delivering for them to solve their problems?
Yeah, I get that. Let's stay a little bit with the experience side of the coin that you mentioned, because at least when I take a look at this, I would say this changed a lot during the last 2 years with all things coming up AI related. So in the past, you created a careers website, which was SEO optimized. Search engine optimized. And nowadays, the younger candidates, at least, they don't go to Google, obviously.
You know. Oh, yeah.
They use AI. So it's a completely different way. And how do you make sure, as Radiancy, that your customers also are to be seen in the LLMs?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big question. And I'll take you back a step where I think our approach is that everything's connected. And so it's not one answer. I think SEO is still important. You still need to do that. The fundamentals are there. You need to think about generative engine optimization, answer engine optimization. And for me, that comes back to storytelling. It's about, you know, understanding where we go in terms of what stories need to be told, what are the engines looking for. And so we have the ability to do, you know, visibility audits for our customers. I fundamentally believe, and I've said this at a number of conferences, that employer branding is dead. Long live employer branding. And bear with me, because I think what we need to think about it as is structured employer intelligence. Mm-hmm. We know the questions that are being asked. We need to make sure that we have the answers to those questions. And your career site becomes your own LLM. It becomes the system of record, the answers that you want out there. You know, it then allows you to put your message out into the marketplace for, you know, all these AI bots. I mean, look, I built a vibe coded a scout, if you will. That's a career scout that a candidate might use. And I put it out there to see what it would find all the time looking at employer brands. And it comes back with stuff, but a lot of the answers are wrong. And so if you start to do that, it then comes down to content, right? How do you start to create the right content on an ongoing basis to address those areas that are weaknesses for you? How do you go on to create the content that you know, really powers your strengths? But for me, it's the same basic principles. I just call it something different, but it's about making sure that it's machine readable. It's, you know, sometimes it's not the long videos, it's the short content now. It's just changing the way we do things. But I think it's all connected. So it's not just about discoverability. It's about what is the brand story. It is about what pathways are those people taking when they come to your career site. And if you have the ability to monitor all of that every step of the way, we call that connected intelligence. Mm-hmm. Because that's where you start to understand what the first candidate step was, which ones of those are good candidates, where's the quality coming from, you know, are they persisting, are they going on to the next step of the journey? And right now, and I'm sure you see this with all of your customers, I see this on a global basis, that there's a real challenge within organizations around volume versus quality.
Absolutely.
They don't want more volume. They want more quality. Yes. And with AI, you know, you've got economic troubles, you've got, you know, political uncertainty, you've got people looking for roles with new technologies. Now, candidates, as you said a minute ago, they're using these AI tools, they're firing off applications just, you know, 100 at a time, 200 at a time, and the recruiters are struggling. So you need a screening tool, you need a scheduling tool that's allowing you to do that. And we've got, you know, some situations with customers where they were only screening 10, 12% of their applicants on an annual basis. The recruiters couldn't keep up with the volume. And when they use the AI powered screening post-apply, you know, that we've got, they had a 90% reduction in their screening costs. Well, the numbers went down in terms of money. They had an 89% reduction in screening effort. So they're getting more of their cycles back, and they screened 5 times more candidates. So, you know, it's the same recruiter capacity. It's dramatically more pipeline being processed, and the quality's improved because we're removing the bottleneck, not by hiring more people, but by getting through it. So I think there's huge opportunities today for that kind of stuff.
Oh, I would totally agree. How do you deal as a global company with a different regulation in the different areas? I mean, we're talking now in Germany, and I always quote Frank Sinatra, a little bit different. If you make it in Germany, you can make it anywhere. But
yeah, what's your perspective? Well, it's funny because happily, that's not my problem. We have a fantastic team that works on a global basis to understand, you know, the EU AI Acts, the GDPR, everything. Yeah. And, you know, we're very conscious at Radency that what we're doing is responsible. And so, you know, for example, unlike some other businesses that are out there that have lawsuits filed against them because they're screening people out, we're not, we're stack ranking, we're doing things very carefully, but we have a whole team that does nothing but work on that to ensure it. And it's funny, you know, I've said this in Germany on stage, so it's not meant as an offensive point, but it'll bear out what you just said. I don't think Germans in the HR tech space are leaders. I think you're what I would call fast followers, because you want to know who's done it already. You also want to know who's done it in Germany already. And then once you find that other person that's done it, you'll do it better, because that's what Germans do. You get it right. But there's no appetite for failure, right? That doesn't work. But what I see in America is failure is good. We learn from it. So there's cultural differences where people jump in. And so I think, you know, for us, we're very cognizant of the reticence in the EU to do things. And I think if you can make it in Germany, you can make it anywhere is 100% right. But we want to make sure that we're responsible on a global basis. And so we work very hard at that.
Let's talk a little bit about differences. I mean, you just told me in the pre-talk, you've been in several European countries lately. Mm. And what were your observations about the market?
Well, it's interesting because I think everybody, you know, everybody has recognized that AI is here. You know, it's not a question of if, it's a question of how. And I think that there are some significant challenges because people are moving at different speeds in different regions. You know, I think, you know, the EU AI Act has put a little bit of a pause in the EU on the solutions they're bringing. But I think the problem that we're seeing almost everywhere is that organizations are buying intelligence, as we call it, you know, before they build the foundations that the intelligence depends on. So you can't have a skills-based solution unless you have a matrix in the business and you figured it out. You can't do that kind of stuff. And so I think what we're seeing is that organizations are now almost on a global basis, taking a step back and saying, let's look at the workflows. Let's figure out what actually has to change within the business. But I do think the North American market is moving at a much more accelerated rate than the European market. And that's not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just a reality. And I think that within Europe, you've got, certain differences within the UK and Germany and the rest of the market. But I think the European approach to privacy is a good thing. I think it's less of a cowboys and Indians kind of thing. It's like, we're gonna really consider it and we'll work through it. But I also think that what we're starting to see is some of the insanity is going away. I think there was, the Gartner hype cycle, right? The peak of inflated expectations. AI is going to solve all of our problems. Then you hit the trough of disillusionment. Oh, what's going on? Now we're coming out onto the next level where things are really going to start to matter. But what's interesting is that a lot of organizations have thrown solutions at broken processes. Mm-hmm. And all I've done is made the broken processes worse and faster. And so whether it's in Stockholm with the Future Talent Council, again, we're having these conversations, or whether it's at a potential park event in Berlin, or whether it's at a conference in Paris, I think everybody's starting to say, wait a minute, let's figure out how we get rid of some of the point solutions, because they're just bad investments, right? You spend a bunch of money on one thing. It has an integration partner, it has a delivery partner, it has all this stuff, and it doesn't get you where you want to go. So I'm actually quite pleasantly pleased to see that there's a little bit of a step back now, not a rush to just put something in place.
From my point of view, there's also another thing. I mean, processes are for sure one thing. The other thing is, at the end of the day, culture and just the human perspective on how to embrace change, which is sometimes really, really difficult. And you might have the best technology in place, but if the mindset, if the attitude of the people is not in the right way, you won't achieve any good results.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Jess von Bank talks about that a lot when she does her presentation. She says, listen, if you don't get the culture of change and they're not ready to embrace it, you will get nowhere. And I think, there's a lot of fear around new technologies. It's going to take my job. I don't think so. I think what you're going to see is AI becoming a force multiplier. It's going to start to help people. But to your point, if the culture is not ready for it, it's not going to get you anywhere. And I think, again, it comes back to that idea that it's about workflows. What happens is if you optimize the workflow, then you can optimize the intelligence. And I always say, one of my opening statements on stage is, you've heard the expression, think outside the box. And I say, don't do that. I say, do not think outside the box. And everybody looks at me like I'm crazy. And I said, you have to think like there is no box. Because we're in a market now where you have to think completely differently about the tools at your disposal, the ways in which we do things. And then you have to make sure, to your point, that the people are ready to embrace that new model, because otherwise you'll get zero, traction.
I have to smile a little bit, because in a keynote on an event I was on, I said the bad thing is at the moment there is no playbook, and the good thing is there is no playbook.
Exactly.
You can just start.
But even though there's no playbook, I think that there are smart people out there doing really interesting things, and everybody recognizes that we're at a moment of real inflection. Think about it. When the internet was invented, it was a moment of inflection.
Absolutely.
when the car was invented, it was a moment of inflection. And it's going to have real change and real impact. But what we want to do is make sure that we're focused on a real goal. And the real goal should be hiring outcomes. How do we get better and faster and more efficient at getting the right people into place? And to me, the only way to do that is with a single engine that has that data stream that allows you to look at it and allows you to understand what's actually happening with within your business, and is not a volume issue, although some organizations need the volume, but it's about the quality, even within that volume conversation. You know, if you're going to look at examples of you know, other large organizations, you know, I can't name check any of them because I don't have permission for privacy reasons, but you know, we have a major theme park and entertainment customer. And, you know, for them, if they don't make their hiring targets, it's not just an HR problem, right? It directly impacts whether or not they can open and operate. I mean, it's life or death to them. And so, you know, what they had was an old model, and the old model was, you know, completely reactive. You know, they'd spin up a campaign, you know, when the season was coming, you know, they say, okay, we know we have to hire these people. And then they'd go dark after a while, right? They were just dark, you know, because they had hired people and that was it. But what we really said to them was, you need always on pipeline. You need to be on all the time, telling your stories, getting people to connect to you. And so leveraging our tools and technologies, they could do that. And what's amazing is they held their spend flat. So again, it's about saving money, but they had a 91% uplift in terms of the job volume, right? Their cost per application was cut by almost 50%. They saw 435,000 candidates, right? And they hired or enrolled 22,000 of them in the pipeline, something like that, a massive number. So I think it's about getting to outcomes. Mm-hmm. And it's the tools and the culture that drive that. But it also has to be a vision that comes from the C-suite. You know, we're going to implement new tools. We're not going to just go buy something because the CFO wanted that finance package. We're going to get you the right structure, but you need the data. And I think the other thing, you know, when I think about my time at Radency, one of the things that really excites me about being at Radency is we have so many customers. You know, we're very lucky. And we have the aggregated data from all of those customers. So I don't tell you what happened to company X or company Y, but what I can do is I can start to really look at the patterns. I can see the trends. And we come to the table for our customers with that kind of insight before we even add their first party data. And so it's an amazing conversation to be able to have, which is not, I think this, but I know this. And therefore X. Yeah.
And you might know it before everyone else knows it, due to the fact that you can do predictive analytics and stuff like that.
Exactly.
What's the biggest challenge for Radency at this point in time?
Well, that's a really interesting question. And you're going to laugh when I tell you this. I think our biggest challenge is telling our story. Right. I think our biggest challenge, like in any organization, is getting the story into the right ears and the right people. And I think, you know, your customer shifts over time from the employer brand leader to the HR IT people to everybody else. You know, our name is relatively new in the market. As you said, it used to be TMP. Then we bought all these businesses and we've changed our name. And I think it's people saying, oh, I actually know who you are. And I know what you do. That's our biggest challenge. And we are set up as an organization that's really designed to work for organizations that are enterprise level, big scale, who have big hiring challenges. You know, we're not a Mittelstand necessarily, although we can do, you know, I mean, we can. But I mean, the hard part is making sure that the right people know who we are. That's the challenge. That's being not flippant. I also think that the challenges are making sure that we are, you know, advancing the tools and technologies the right way. But we're very cognizant of the fact that for us, it's about the voice of the customer. What does the customer want? We're not going to come to you and say, we've created a tool. We're going to say, what's your problem? And so we always say, what's the business problem that you are trying to solve? And we will help you solve that business problem. Because when you do that, I think you become much more embedded in an organization. They see you as a real partner. It's not selling something. It's saying, we're here to walk alongside you and solve those problems. And again, our platform is so capable that depending on what your problem is, we can solve it in five different ways.
What's interesting to me is, I mean, you're obviously an HR tech company, and your SaaS business, at least that's how I see it. But also what you just mentioned sounds like that you really focus on the challenges of your customers, which affords that you also consult your customers.
Yeah.
So it's not 100% SaaS, which is only scalable and there's a product and there's no consultant involved. How do you deal with that? How many consultants do you have? And
it's not quite like that. I like the way you described it, but it's not quite like that.
All right.
I mean, we are a SaaS business, right? We're a technology company.
Yes.
But what we bring with us is the DNA and the expertise of having been in this space a very long time. And so unlike other organizations, if you hire us and sign on with us, you don't have to hire a third-party implementation. We do it. And that's because we know our platform better than anybody else will. And you get a customer success team that's aligned to you, and they become an extension of your business. So it's not as if we have consultants. We have customer success teams and delivery teams working hand in hand all the time to make sure that we are getting our customers the most that they need out of it. And so I do think that the truth is, you know, we sit down and we say, on our QBRs, what do you need to accomplish this quarter? What happened last quarter? We do that on an ongoing basis. We understand the business, but I don't think that we are a consultancy in the way you would think so. You know, it's not like we would roll consultants out just on a TA project, unless you are using our tools.
Yeah, but that's also not what I meant. That was a misunderstanding. Sorry. Then. So, yeah, but nevertheless, I mean, there are SaaS businesses that focus purely on the technology and nothing else. Where I say, oh, that might be a little bit short-minded in the long run.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to misunderstand you. I apologize. Yeah. But yeah, I think you're right. If you don't have the human side of it, it's not, here's a piece of kit, buy it, goodbye, right?
Exactly.
It's, here's a piece of kit, we're going to walk alongside you, we're going to set it up, and we will stay with you on the journey the whole way through. Absolutely. Oh, so we have over 900 people in the business.
Oh, great. And you are 25 years with Radiancy. Now let's jump forward 5 years. How would you envision Radiancy in 5 years from now?
Oh, wow. How would I envision it in 5 years from now? If I'm going to roll forward, I'm really proud of the fact that we have the Radiancy Labs team, and they are always thinking about what's next, you know, not today, not 6 months from now, but a year, 2 years, 3 years from now. And I think, you know, our product development teams are really, really good. And I think 5 years from now, we will have listened again to the voice of the customer. We will have brought forward 4 to 5 really important new features, functions, tools that really, you know, align with the platform. I think we will hopefully be, you know, 50 to 100% bigger than we are now, you know, more customers, more growth. I mean, because again, I think we're set up for that. I also hope maybe in 5 years I'm retired. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't believe that.
I love working in this company. It's amazing human beings. It's great people, all of whom come every day with energy and excitement and ideas. And I'm privileged to work alongside them. I really am. It's a great business.
That's great. What are the latest features that Radiancy is currently working on, or perhaps that you're about to roll out?
Yeah, so I can't really talk about the roadmap because some of that's secret. But I think what we've done is, you know, in the last few years, we've made a large number of acquisitions. We bought a large number of businesses, again, based on the voice of the customer, the things that they needed to solve. And so our focus really was in the last 18 months to make sure that all those things aligned well, were integrated properly. And, you know, one of the things that we're really focused on now, because we're really good at the CX side of it, right? The candidate experience side. We're now really focusing on the recruiter side of it. What can we do to help make those businesses more efficient, more powerful? And so really for me, screening and scheduling is a huge piece of what we do. You know, the efficiencies that we can drive, the ability to automate the processes. I think that's really the focus for me. I don't know that I can talk to you about some of the other things we're rolling out, but, you know, we do have, sites going live now with career discovery agents. So instead of building just a chatbot, we have, you know, a live AI tool that's engaged with them. Job descriptions, we give them a TLDR version of it so that they can go through it. We bring contextual content to it. But I think for me, the real story, again, and I come back to what I said at the beginning about connected intelligence, it's about the integration of everything from the very beginning to the end, alpha to omega, right? The idea that says, we know where to start putting the message in the marketplace to attract people. We follow them through the journey. We know where they drop off. Do we want them to drop off? Do we not want them to drop off? And then that data signal, separating that signal from the noise, feeding into recruiters helps make the recruiters more efficient, you know, taking that time back so they can be more human and do the things that they need to do. That to me is, I think, really where the focus is. The labs team spends a lot of time looking at labor market signals. So they understand what's happening region by region, market by market. And we're hoping, I think, to really help our customers get ahead of that. So we anticipate needs, we give that predictive modeling. But we're doing some really interesting things. And I hope maybe in the next couple of months to be able to share some of that with you.
Yeah, I'm super curious. Perhaps that might be a second ZartCon podcast.
I'd love to come back and maybe bring some of my colleagues from the labs team. It could be fun.
All right. We'll do so. Stephen, it was a pleasure talking to you. And I expected that you would be totally energized. And yes, you met the expectation. So.
So first of all, thank you for having me, because I've always wanted to be a guest and I'm excited to be on. Well, you and I could talk for 6 days. I mean, I think there's a lot that we could cover. There's all sorts of trends to talk about in terms of, you know, what are career sites? What are recruiters doing? You know, connected intelligence. I'll leave you this one thought. I coined a term, you know, we've all talked about ROI for a long time. You know, return on investment. And I said, that's great, but we also need to think about what I call return on intelligence. Mm-hmm. And that means when you go out to put a solution in place, if it's AI driven, what is the return on that? What does it cost you to implement it? What's it doing in terms of time saved? What's it doing in terms of real dollars or euros saved? And I think if we start thinking about return on intelligence alongside ROI, we'll start to see that transform the way we do employer branding, the way we do everything else in this process. So interesting times ahead, my friend, but thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for taking the time. Speak to you soon. Bye, Stephen.
Okay, tschüss.
So, das war diese Saatkorn-Podcast-Episode. Ich hoffe, dir hat Spaß gemacht und sie hat dir gefallen. Bevor ich jetzt hier rausgehe, noch ein kleiner Tipp für dich. Abonniere doch kostenlos meinen Saatkorn-Newsletter. Dann gibt es jeden Sonntag alle Podcasts, alle News, alle Artikel, alle Verlosungen, alles, was ich auf Saatkorn so mache, gratis in dein Mailpostfach und du hast bequem alles an einem Ort und verpasst nichts mehr. Das Ganze kostet, wie gesagt, nichts. Den Link zum Abo gibt's in den Shownotes. Würde mich freuen, wenn wir uns da wieder treffen. Ganz lieben Dank und bis bald. Ciao.